season of Advent, this holy time of year, and I have been reflecting the last couple of weeks on this great passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This great poetic and prophetic word from the prophet Isaiah. And so allow me to read these verses to you from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Lord, these verses never get old to me. And I pray, Father, that as we reflect on this magnificent word, that we will receive it with even a fraction enthusiasm over this passage and the promise of this child that is born unto us. And so be with us this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. It is remarkable to me as we read through the Pentateuch. You know, in Genesis we read of the mighty Creator God, and in Leviticus we read of the powerful, liberating Deliverer God, and then we read of the law-giving, law-enforcing God of Leviticus. And then we read of the holy and righteous judge, God in Numbers. And then we read of the God in Deuteronomy, the covenant demanding God of Deuteronomy. You know, we read through the Pentateuch and we read of these various aspects of God. But then as we continue on in the scriptures, such as this passage and other passages, one of the things the scriptures force us to do and compel us to do is to think of Almighty God as a child, as a baby. And it is astonishing to me that the scriptures force us to think of God as a baby, for unto us a child is born. The incarnation is a mystery, no doubt, and to try to wrap our minds around Almighty God as a baby, for me, is mind-boggling, but this is where the scriptures take us. And I suppose it makes sense. What's more precious and holy and innocent than a baby? I think most of us, if not all of us, have held a child in our arms, and we look at this beautiful baby and we are filled with awe. When both my boys were born, you know, minutes after they were born, I held them in my arms and was just in awe of these creatures. I have three grandchildren now, and I look at each one of them with awe and wonder. It's the power of a baby. It's the power of a child. You can take the biggest foul-mouthed, vile biker dude, you know, and put a baby in his arms, and he will become mush. It's the power of a baby. And this baby, this child that Isaiah prophesies about obviously is no ordinary child, for he will come and transform the world. You may be familiar with the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. He's passed on, but and he's from a different theological persuasion. I'm not a Calvinist. But I do owe him at least two grateful things for which I'm grateful for. The first was when I was a teenager in my church, I took the Evangelism Explosion course. And even though since as I've matured, I've made evangelism more Wesleyan in my approach. But I'll never forget taking that course. It gave me the confidence that I can do this. I can talk to people about Jesus. And I'm grateful for his Evangelism Explosion course. And the other thing for which I'm grateful for the late Dr. D. James Kennedy is this book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And I try to peruse it once a year around this time of year because it's a fascinating book. And I just want to read to you a portion from this book as he talks about this child that was born to transform the world. He says, some people have made transformational changes in one department of human learning or in one aspect of human life, and their names are forever enshrined in the annals of human history. But Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, has changed virtually every aspect of human life, and most people don't know it. The greatest tragedy of the Christmas holiday each year is not so much its commercialization, gross as that is, but its trivialization. How tragic it is that people have forgotten him to whom they owe so very much. Many are familiar with the 1946 film classic, It's a Wonderful Life, wherein the character played by Jimmy Stewart gets a chance to see what life would be like had he never been born. In many ways, this terrific movie directed by Frank Capra is the springboard for this book. The main point of the film is that each person's life has impact on everybody else's life. Had they never been born, there would be gaping holes left by their absence. My point in this book is that Jesus Christ has had enormous impact more than anybody else on history. Had he never come, the hole would be a canyon about the size of a continent. And he's absolutely right. And so the incarnation forces us to think of mighty, thunderous God who has come to us as a baby. And so we think of God and Christ, especially this time of year as a child. As I've been thinking about this passage and thinking about this moment, I thought of my aunt who lives in the Philadelphia area. She retired a few years ago, but for over 40 years, she was a pediatrician there in the Philadelphia area. And I just thought of her, and I just felt like I just needed to call her. And so I did. I hadn't talked to her in years. Sweet lady. She's a little soft-spoken, but just a wonderful lady. And we had a nice talk. But I said, you know, I'm thinking about these verses here in Isaiah, and this message I'm going to give, for unto us a child is born. And I said, Auntie, I want to hear from you, from your perspective as a medical doctor, someone who's worked with, expectant mothers and infants and newborns and children and pre-adolescents, you know, your entire career. I just want to hear from you, your perspective on children. On a child, on babies, on infants. She's a mother herself and a grandmother, but I just wanted to hear her perspective as a medical doctor on children. And I just left it at that, and I just let her talk, and I let her share. And so this is what she shared with me, and I'll just share it with you. Number one, she said, no child is an accident. No child is an accident. She said, I would have couples come to me and say, oh, we got pregnant and it baby wasn't planned and it was an accident. And she said, no, this baby is not an accident. Number two, she shared that a child needs both father and mother. She said, each nurture the baby, but in different ways, of course. But a child needs both a father and a mother. She said, Jesus needed both Joseph and Mary. Number three, she said, if a new mom takes maternity leave, whether that leave is, 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, at the end of that maternity leave, they did not want to go back to work. Now, there were circumstances where, of course, maybe they had to go back to work, but inevitably, that baby becomes primary to the mother. At number four, this one caught me off guard because I wasn't really thinking in this direction, but she said, don't even get me started on abortion. She said, sometimes people would come to me and she would explain to them that 3-week embryo will become a baby. Number five, she said, children are basically simple. They're straightforward. What you see is what you get. Number six, she said, there is no such thing as an abnormality. Every child of God, every child is of God, and he has a plan for them. And I'll tell you, I was sharing a little bit earlier, our next door neighbor, she's 23 years old and she has autism. And so far, of all the Christmas cards we've received so far, she's the only one who made a beautiful handmade card. We took their family out to dinner the other day. It's an unchurched family. They don't go to church. But I took them out to dinner and she made me a beautiful handmade card. And it's my most treasured card I've received this season. There is no such thing as an abnormality. Every child is a blessing from God. And then finally, she said, throughout her practice, throughout her years, she sought to put her faith into practice. And many times, an expectant mother would come and say, well, I don't want to be preached to. And my aunt would say, well, I'm just telling you the truth. These are the facts about your baby, about your child. And to hear my aunt's perspective and just to talk, from a medical point of view about the beauty of children was very encouraging and a blessing to me. And then as we ended the call, we both agreed it was way too long since we had spoken. And we both agreed that we should not allow too much time to pass before we talk. And this is just a reminder to all of us as we're 8 days out from Christmas, if you haven't spoken to someone in a long time, just pick up the phone and give them a call and wish them holiday greetings. And life is too short to allow so much time to pass by that we don't connect with the people that we love. And so the scriptures give us the hope and the promise of this beautiful child. Unto us, this child is born. And then if we go back to this passage, we see a couple of great promises. Verse 6, the government will be on his shoulders. Back then and even today, we feel the weight of the government on our shoulders. And many of us are very tired of what the government is doing to us. But this child will grow and the government will be on his shoulders. And every time I read that, I think of, Atlas. He's the one that held the world on his shoulders. But in this case, Messiah will be the one who will hold the government on his shoulders. And this is just a reminder to all of us that Messiah, can hold the government on his shoulders, he can carry us through. regardless of what we're going through. And I don't know of a single person who's not going through something right now, especially this time of year. But whatever we're going through, whatever you're going through, give it to Jesus. His shoulders are big enough. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Whatever you're dealing with, any worry, any anxiety, any issue, he can handle it. If he can handle the government on his shoulders, he can handle you. And then the rest of these verses, let me just read them for you quickly. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. With the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And I love this part. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Or other translations say, he will do it. He will do it. And so this is our great Advent hope. This is the confidence that we have in this child, that he will do it. He will accomplish this. And then, of course, we go on into the New Testament and we see all that Jesus accomplished. And then we look forward to the great eschatological hope of what he will yet do. But all this is because, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is our Advent confidence. This is our Advent hope. Let me close in prayer. Father, as we reflect on this child and the great hope that we have in Messiah, I pray, Father, that we will ourselves become childlike. For even Jesus said, if any of you would enter the kingdom of God, you must become as one of these little ones. And so with childlike wonder, may we look upon this child that was given to us and look at this baby with all the divine mystery wrapped up in this baby, and the promise and the hope and the assurance that we have in Jesus. And Lord, again, I pray that if any of us are dealing with any issues, we can cast all of our cares upon you, for your shoulders are big enough to carry us. I thank you, Father, for Emmanuel. You are indeed with us. We are not left to ourselves. We are not alone. You are our great hope. You are our confidence. Lord, we thank you for Nazarene Bible College. I pray you continue to guide and lead our new president and his cabinet. And we look forward to 2026 with great anticipation, for you are indeed with us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Hannah, for encouraging words.